Good evening, everybody. This is Jeff J. Brown in hot, steamy Shenzhen. My gosh, it just got really hot the last couple of days here in November. I'm sweating like a hog. All right, I'm drinking some gold thread herb tea. Jin Xian Cao. Let me lubricate my throat here. All right. Today's podcast and article, of course, has not as many as some of the others, but enough visuals and hyperlinks that you'd like to find the original article, which will be posted with this. So please read along while you listen. The title is, "The Chinese People Just Want a Little Respect. Aretha Franklin Diplomacy on China Rising Radio Sinoland." And there's a picture of the lovely Aretha Franklin, obviously when she was a lot younger. And there's a quote, and it says, she said, "We all require and want respect, man or woman, black or white. It's our basic human right." Right on, sister. And under that, I have a byline, and it says, "Hey, I have a great idea. Let's start a letter-writing campaign to ask President Trump to make Aretha Franklin the U.S. ambassador to China. Baba Beijing and the citizens of this largely misunderstood country would surely appreciate the respect conferred." All right, let's get going. In general, the Chinese are way too Confucian, Taoist, Buddhist to outwardly express their disillusionment to Westerners' faces. But among themselves, they can be quite open about it. From personal experience, I can say that a few rounds of beer, wine, or liquor can bring out the truth, too. In vino veritas is a timeless refrain. I also hear it when speaking Mandarin with them. I convince them that I really am on their side, which is true, and they will vent their spleens, politely, I might add. But again, 99% of the time, most Euranglolanders are clueless and kept in the dark. All of this goes back to the Confucian notion of Zhen, which means to forbear or endure. The top half of the Chinese character is a knife, and the bottom half is the heart, as can be seen in the enlarged character below. So, Zhen is a knife coming down on top of you. You can't escape it, and it is cutting into your heart, not killing you, but hurting you. And you have to take it, endure it. The four comma-looking parts represent drops of blood. Zhen is serious business. Zhen is considered to be the apex of great leadership for Baba Beijing, China's leaders, and the ideal civilization among the citizens between each other and with other nations. There are tens of different words and idioms centered around Zhen and its concept of endurance, patience, and tolerance. The Chinese endure endless foreign insults with the famous axiom, Zhen Bei Qiang Xiao, which means to endure sadness with a forced smile. Notice the second character for sadness also has the symbol below for heart. In English, there is a similar saying, grin and bear it. But Euranglolanders do not base their entire system of governance and people's civilization on it. The Chinese do and have been doing so for 5,000 years. Confucius codified it into statecraft and sociocultural protocol. Laozi made it into a philosophy, Taoism. And Buddha, albeit an Indian import, turned it into a world religion. This also gets into the philosophy of face, keeping face and losing face. If you say something disparaging directly to someone, you have caused them to lose face and you have not shown Zhen, meaning you have not been civilized. The whole concept of face, in Chinese it's mian, drives most foreigners to vexation and bewilderment. However, the Chinese have developed it into a way of life to get along together, not only with family members and neighbors down the street, but with other peoples halfway across the world. For individualistic, aggressive, acquisitive, evangelical, and expansionist Westerners, concepts like Zhen and Mian are often perceived as signs of weakness. For communist socialist, harmonious, holistic, and elliptical Baba Beijing and its citizens, they are revered as the pinnacle of strength. I see this all the time in China, and Westerners are mostly oblivious. This week I attended a professional development session with fellow teachers and administrators from several schools in the area. Among us was a mixture of Westerners and Chinese. Our presenter, a European, excitedly told us a story that was supposed to demonstrate why our teaching system is superior to others. At the presenter's international school in Shanghai, a student heard about the annual dog meat festival held in Yulin, Guangxi, China, which is due west of Shenzhen, where I live, about 500 kilometers. This student was outraged and shocked about dogs being eaten. So she got together some classmates, and they made a PowerPoint presentation about how horrifying, cruel, and uncivilized eating dogs is, with photos of horrifying, cruel, and uncivilized Chinese committing all these perceived crimes. Their international Shanghai school then let these students go classroom to classroom, PowerPoint and indignation in hand, on a moral crusade to denounce what this Chinese town does. Our presenter was very proud of what these students had done and proud to tell us about the experience. Sadly and ironically, this presenter and those crusading students probably enjoy eating mouthfuls of pig, cow, fish, and fowl at most meals, but never mind. They would say, "That's beside the point." Totally clueless to their cultural hypocrisy. I just call it what it is. Racism. What was interesting was the reaction of all the Chinese teachers who were in the classroom. This presenter had clearly caused them to lose face. Yet they did nothing. Did not raise a hand. Did not protest. Did not try to smooth things over. No, they endured humiliation. Zhen shi. They just sat there, knife on the heart, and took it in silence. After 5 millennia of this practice sociocultural meme, they maybe didn't even notice what happened. For evangelical imperial Westerners, high and low, this all makes perfect sense. George W. Bush once famously had a Freudian slip of the tongue during a speech, calling the destruction of Afghanistan, Iraq, and the genocide of millions of their citizens a crusade. Those Shanghai students were also on their little proselytizing crusade. The Zhen did not end there. Our presenter then told us about a teacher in training who once brought a package of tissues as their personal artifact for show and tell. You know where this is headed. Yes, since the trainee lived in China, they must bring toilet paper with them everywhere they go, because you never know. Jeez Louise. That might pass among a bunch of drunken university fraternity brothers lighting each other's farts while watching the classic movie of its genre, Animal House. But these are college-educated Western teachers. Would you want your child, Chinese or otherwise, to be getting this lowbrow racist projection all day? Then in another practice lesson, there was one station with color photos of foods from around the world. Tacos from Latin America, hamburgers and French fries from North America, beautifully rolled Japanese sushi, and grilled fish and rice from West Africa. So what did our presenter pick to represent Chinese cuisine? What else but steamed chicken feet?
God.
Here is one of the most popular, elegant, and varied culinary art forms offered to humankind, and 5,000 years of stunning cooking history were reduced down to a bowl of chicken feet. Why didn't she show pickled pig brains for the United States or sautéed pork intestines to represent French cuisine? Yes, these regional specialty dishes exist in these countries, but are they representative of two great national kitchens? No, but steamed chicken feet will do for China's 1.3 billion citizens. The Chinese put up with these racist Western indignities day and night. Zhen, baby, Zhen. Yet, I can't really blame these people. I do empathize because before I came back to China in 2010, I still exhibited much of the same blinkered white man's moral and intellectual superiority. We were brainwashed with it from birth, and the propaganda at school and in the mainstream media is oppressive. Our presenter has lived in China for 20 years and is oblivious to their racist sentiments. I have good friends who have lived here since the 1980s. They would, of course, never admit it, but they still see themselves as racial and cultural superiors over the Chinese, still complain nonstop about how uncivilized daily life is among the people, and still don't understand why the Chinese don't have the same refined social skills as Westerners, whatever the hell that is supposed to mean. Sadly, after 3 decades here, they are still blinded and brainwashed by Western propaganda and entrenched racism. From Alexander the Great in the 4th century BC to the medieval European Crusades to the 15th to 19th century extermination of 100 million Native Americans to China's century of humiliation 1839 to 1949 to 20th century's genocide in Palestine, to the destruction and slaughter in 21st century Syria, and millions of horrific, cruel, and uncivilized points in between, all of the world's people have been practicing Zhen in the face of the West's onslaught for 3 millennia. Your Anglo-landers are incurable colonialists, and we know what's best for you, teachers. This makes them depressingly predictable, and humanity continues to pay a tragic cost with its blood and treasure. All of this is covered in book number 3 of the China Trilogy, China is Communist, Damn It, Dawn of the Red Dynasty, with fascinating real-life experiences on my part, living and working with Chinese people for 14 years. The first part of book number 2, China Rising, Capitalist Roads and Socialist Destinations, shows why the Chinese have to practice so much Zhen with the West since Europeans first arrived here in 1517. With all the background explained above, now you can really appreciate the following poem. A Chinese fan on China Rising Radio Sinoland's YouTube channel left it as a riposte to a snarky comment from an apparent China hater. Racism is racism, pure and simple. I then found the poem online in Chinese, cleaned up the English, and edited it slightly. To wit, the title is The Chinese Only Ask for a Little R-E-S-P-E-C-T, A Modern Poem of Disillusionment. When we were the sick man of Asia, we were called the Yellow Peril. When we are billed as the next superpower, we are called the Threat. When we closed our doors, you smuggled drugs to open markets. When we embrace free trade, you blame us for taking away your jobs. When we were falling apart, you marched in your troops and wanted your fair share. When we tried to put the broken pieces back together again, "Free Tibet," you screamed. "It was an invasion." When we tried communism, you hated us for being communist. When we embraced capitalism, you hate us for being capitalist. When we have a billion people, you said we were destroying the planet. When we tried limiting our numbers, you said we abused human rights. When we were poor, you thought we were dogs. When we loan you cash, you blame us for your national debts and overconsumption. When we build our industries, you call us polluters. When we sell you goods, you blame us for global warming. When we buy oil, you call it exploitation and genocide. When you go to war for oil, you call it liberation. When we were lost in chaos and rampage, you demanded rules of law. When we uphold law and order against violence, you call it violating human rights. When we were silent, you said you wanted us to have free speech. When we are silent no more, you say we are brainwashed as xenophobes. So, why do you hate us so much? We asked. No, you answered, we don't hate you. We don't hate you either, but do you understand us? Of course we do, you said. We have AFP, Fox, New York Times, CNN, and BBC. But what do you really want from us? Think hard first, then answer, because you get so many chances. Enough is enough. Enough hypocrisy for this planet. We want one world, one dream, and peace on Earth. This big blue globe is big enough for all of us. End of poem. And who else is better to metaphorically sing this poem than Soul Sister Supreme, Aretha Franklin? In the movie clip below, she plays the allegorical role of the Chinese people. The three hip backup singers represent the country's 1.3 billion citizens. The Blues Brothers, except Elwood, played by Dan Aykroyd, are Russia, Iran, Venezuela, and the global anti-West. As we see at the very end, Elwood represents all of Western Empire's poodle states. They talk a good game about wanting to join the 21st century China dream of win-win cooperation, but take their marching orders from Washington, London, Paris, Tel Aviv. All those Mercedes-Benzes represent the umpteen billions of dollars of goods that the Chinese buy from and manufacture for the West. Socialist communist China is literally keeping the world economy out of a pan-global depression. Thank you, Baba Beijing and the Chinese people. Thank you. And that chump in the middle getting all the blowback? Why, of course, that's dear old Uncle Sam. Rock on, sister! This is Jeff J. Brown in Shenzhen, China, just south of the Tropic of Cancer, signing out and wishing you a wonderful weekend. Bye-bye.